And now, for your listening pleasure, The Blazing Defender Report with your host, Travis Jones.
And that's why little baby Yoda is an annoying little shit. No, I'm just kidding. What's up, guys?
Everyone Welcome. Immediately abandoned stream. Abandoned stream.
I know. People are like, fuck this dude, man.
We picked him.
Welcome, guys. Welcome to the Blazing Defender Report special. Very, very special report. The Mando Monologues. With me, I have the Scum and Villainy crew, and they are scummy. I have TV's Casey and Dennis Robinson from Bosch. What's going on, guys?
Hello.
Not much, man. I'm freaking jazzed about this latest episode. I can't believe it's only 4 episodes in, and we're getting excitement like this.
I know. You know, me and Dennis were saying earlier, like, before you came on, we really wish these episodes were a little longer, right? Yeah. Just because it's so good. But it's not really taking away from any of it. Like, the storytelling's concise. It's giving us everything we need. There's really no dead air, dead time. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have time to get bored.
I honestly think that's the reason why they're the length that they are. They're like, all right, this is the story we want to tell in an episode. These are the scenes we want to include. Where can we trim the fat? It's like, what does it come out to? 36 minutes? All right, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, none of these episodes appear to really be the same length. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all really odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like they, you know, since all this is obviously designed by committee now, you know, it's freaking Star Wars. I have a feeling that they're just like, okay, just do what you want. We'll trim the fat. We'll get it to be a real tight amount of time where there's like no scenes wasted. And here you go, serving it up on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, quality, right? I mean, that's all we ever wanted was quality.
We were talking about it. It's like, you know, comparing it to Stranger Things or some of the other stuff, they give you like too much to sift through.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they end up having to come back with it. I think this one, I think they could easily add another 15-20 minutes to each episode and still not have like boring dead air or anything like that. You could just expand more on the location or the story or whatever it is. I mean, it's basically, well, how long was Firefly? Was that a 30-minute or an hour show?
It was an hour.
An hour with commercials.
Yeah.
Not like an HBO.
45 minutes. Yeah.
So, 45 minutes. So, yeah. So, like, this episode that we just had today reminds me a ton of a Firefly episode. I mean,
there was a Firefly episode just like this. I mean, where, you know, they're protecting a settlement from bandits. I mean, you know.
Was that the prostitutes?
No. Yeah.
That's the one I was thinking of.
I mean, there was
I guess it was. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Maria McElrath's
character. They're not prostitutes, Dennis. They're companions.
There was, that was her friend. And she called in Mao to help her friend on that planet. Yeah. So I guess it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, this is actually more the Seven Samurai than anything. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not.
Yeah. Also Bug's Life.
Also The Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many things have copied.
There's been a lot of things trending on the internet where people are like, oh man, what a cool Western show. And some dick is like, actually all Westerns in modern times are based on samurai movies, so you mean to say cool samurai show? And I'm like, shut up. Just let people enjoy things. Like, okay, if you dig deep enough, yeah, that's where it goes back to, but like,
just let us have this.
Well, I think we talked about that on the Joker show even. Like, you know, people were like, oh, it's so much like the King's Comedy, oh, it's so much like Taxi Driver.
Man.
There was a lot of those elements. And Casey, I think you even said that. But
yeah, I did.
It had been so many years since I'd seen those. I still enjoyed the Joker immensely. Sure. You know, I didn't think it took away from anything that they did.
I don't think this is like, you know, this leans heavily into something like Lone Wolf and Cub, where you just have this sort of shinobi type character and a baby that's hanging around with them. But it's not like they're lifting everything whole cloth from that.
Yeah, it would really be awkward but I want to see this so bad. I want to see his little baby ship that he, you know, he kind of travels in.
Bring back the Eggie.
Bring back that if you put weapons on it. Yeah. It'd just be so home up and coming.
Just has cannons on the side.
Little death ball.
Yeah, that would be badass.
And then the Boba Fett missile pack on the back of it.
There you go.
We're still pulling for tiny Mando armor for Baby Yoda.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I got a foundling. Give me the leftover Beskar, please.
Yeah. We'll cut two slits on the side of the helmet so his ears can stick out.
A Jedi covered in Beskar sounds like it'd be like one of the most unstoppable things ever.
Yeah.
Well, there was a Mandalorian Jedi. I can't think of his name. Casey, you probably remember.
I don't remember his name, but yeah, he's a pretty important figure in Mandalorian lore. There's a big old statue of him on the planet.
Right, right. And just a little housekeeping for people that watched last episode. Casey and I talked about this during the week. When I was talking about Maul and Palpatine and him being inserted into the criminal underworld, Dennis, you're shaking your head, but it happened. And I sent Dennis, or I sent you the link too. You probably didn't read it because you're
stupid. I didn't because I.
But Palpatine tells Maul he has plans for him instead of killing him. Yeah. Maul begs for his life like a little bitch.
Yeah.
He tells him, "I'm not going to kill you because I have plans for you."
Right. So,
fan theory. Is because it lines up. That's what Palpatine had him do, was become the criminal of this underworld.
But he escapes from jail, so it's like, no,
he escapes. That's all before.
What?
That's all before.
No, his escape from prison.
Yes,
is when Palpatine's like, I got plans for you, and then he escapes from Palpatine's capture, and then he's on his own.
No, you never see that. You never see him escape Palpatine's capture.
It's in Son of Dathomir.
And for the second week in a row, we're having the same.
It's in a comic book. We're not doing it. Why are we talking about Darth Maul again?
I'm telling you. He kills Savage Opress.
Yeah.
He fights Maul.
Okay.
He force lightnings him down.
Yes.
All begs for his life.
Yep.
He tells him, I'm not going to kill you because I have plans for you. Right. Scene. That's it. That's it.
In the show.
Right.
And then the comic book.
Okay.
Which is canon.
It is. So is the show.
He escapes.
Right, because of Dooku.
Okay.
No, so, that's the fan theory. Dooku wanted him to escape. They were looking for the witch.
Okay.
And they thought that he was going to lead them to the witch. Dude, I've watched 1,000 videos this week.
I'm gonna throw in the towel.
Okay.
Yeah. And let you have this one. Yeah, take it. Enjoy it while it lasts.
No. But my shit was not canon. It's still based on a fan theory. Like, there's nothing that says that's what he wanted to do.
So you're just making shit up.
But no, fan theory, Dennis.
But you're badgering him.
Dennis, are you aware of what a fan theory is? Dude, you've already been
made up
out on the internet of not even liking Star Wars. They're like, why do you have him on that show? He hates Star Wars.
Dennis, I don't hate Star Wars. I don't like new Star Wars that much. There are some things.
Who does?
Like Mandalorian. I mean,
nobody does.
Paul Klotz.
They have one more chance.
Yes.
One chance.
They do have one more chance. Okay. All right. Rabbit hole. We're crawling out. We're crawling out of the Sarlacc pit because that's what we get into.
Hello, fans. Did you know there was a new episode of The Mandalorian on Disney+?
Yes, there was. It was called Sanctuary. It was really fucking good.
Yeah.
And we finally got to see my girl, Gina Carano, as Cara Dune.
Cara Dune.
Really, really, really cool. So what did you all think about this? Like, what stood out to you in this episode? And I'm saying this because I have a timeline, but it never works on this show. So I'm not even going to fucking attempt it. So
I'm going to
talk. We're just going to pull pieces out of the episode that we like and talk about.
Are we going like full bore spoilers right out of the gate? Listen, I never thought one of those goofy looking chicken walkers could scare the shit out of me.
No shit.
But here I am, almost 30 years old. You give it some red eyes, you have it creep and rise up out of the darkness. Oh, man.
Well, because they put it in the proper perspective. If you're looking at it from the perspective of just rando farmer that has no way of defending themselves, that would be the most horrifying thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, even with to Mando and Kara, like, that was still pretty ominous and threatening. Like, they had to go pretty above and beyond to deal with it. Although they could have just blown it up while nobody was, you know, paying attention when they snapped it. But whatever, that's fine.
It was almost a deal breaker for them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they were like,
fuck this. I'm not fighting one of those things.
Like, hey, you motherfuckers were holding out on us.
Are you nuts?
Y'all got to get, like,
yeah, just move.
Your money. We're not just dying move. Over this shit. So, yeah. And again, I feel like, you know, we get a little more of Mando's essence. Like, he's a good dude. He wanted to help. He's like, Carr was like, yeah, you guys got to leave. Like, this is, we can't train. You're not fighters. It's a losing cause. And Mando was like, well, we could train them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cue montage, cue 10-second montage. And now they're all samurais with,
let's get down to business. It reminded me
so much of Army of Darkness, especially with the pole thing where they're like, huh. I was like,
and that one dude doesn't get a stick up. Thing.
Yeah, I know.
Lift your That's fucking stick.
Scene from Army Goddamn of Darkness.
Yeah.
So Rhino says in the chat he wants more backstory from the Widow. So it's a great point, and I have it in my notes. Omira, apparently she was the widow from the village that was a pseudo love interest for the Mandalorian. Almost got him to take his helmet off, but yeah. She's definitely got some type of backstory with. You know, in the very beginning when the Raiders are coming through, she was sharp enough to hide her and her daughter under
one of those little krill buckets.
Yeah, krill crate or whatever the fuck it was, you know, pretty smart. And then, you know, does anybody know how to shoot? I do. And just she's
her.
A fucking crack shot with a blaster rifle. So she's definitely maybe ex-military or something. Probably won't get to see. Ryan was like, man, I really like a backstory for her. Probably won't get it this season, but I'm surely she's going to be a reoccurring.
After this episode, I've just really started to think we're not going to get a lot of recurring people.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, like maybe their paths will cross once again, but like I've been holding out that we're going to see IG-11 again at some point this season, and I'm like, maybe not. Maybe he really just did teasing. Get shot in the head in the first episode.
We've
seen all the characters in the promotional material now.
Sure.
Everybody who's on those, you know, original posters and whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
We haven't seen everyone from the trailers yet, though.
Is that true?
No, we haven't.
We haven't seen the chick from S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
Or the Twi'lek that, like, turns and winks while she's, like, juggling, like, a knife or something like that.
Oh, that's right.
We haven't seen any of that stuff yet.
Yeah. But I think that even that lends to, you know, more reason that we're just going to get new people every episode.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that, you know, he parts ways with Cara Dune at the end of this is like they might as well be going to opposite ends of the galaxy.
But she did say, till we meet again.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But it's like, what is, you have his phone number? Like,
how do people apparently, she might have a tracking fob, which true. We're going to talk about because that has drove me fucking nuts since this series started is how these things work.
Yeah.
So I ended up finding somebody that I guess. He makes a lot of sense when he talks about it, and he's using dialogue from the episode. We'll get into more of it later, but I think he's really got a handle on how these fobs work. So you make a good point, Casey. It's odd to me that they would bring like Gina out in San Diego. You know what I mean? Like they build her as like a reoccurring.
Yeah. I don't think she's going to be just that episode.
I really hope not.
I don't think
because I thought she was really cool. I thought she nailed it.
Yeah.
And plus, she was the hero of this episode. She not only saved the day by jumping into the fucking pit to make the ATT ATST fall in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
She fucking saved Baby Yoda from the sniper.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was the fucking MVP. If you gotta give, you know, most valuable player award, it was. It was her, you know, she did all the hard work. Mando runs over and like, you know, it's like, oop, dropped a grenade in his head and ran off. You know what I mean? But I mean, it was a great entry vehicle for her. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, Casey's right. Smart. It's smart because now they'll see how it worked for the audience. And if she's like, if people are like, oh my God, bring back, you know, then, you know, they're already doing season two. They've already started shooting season two, apparently.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, Gina, we're writing you two more
episodes. I guess just the way I look at it is, you know, as a purveyor of Conan the Barbarian stuff, you know, you'll get a recurring character crop up from time to time, but like every time you approach a new Conan story, you're like, it's just the man and wherever he happens to plant his feet.
Sure.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, I would love it. I would love if he gets his little, if, you know, even if there's one episode where he just gets the band together, like it's IG-11 and Kara and Grief Karga and they're all working together for something like a Dirty Dozen kind of an episode or a Magnificent Seven kind of episode. But, you know, like if you're going to bring them back, maybe do it like that. You know, instead of giving them each a returning episode, you do one big one.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Know. I mean, I'm loving this. Everything's different. You know, you never know exactly what to expect each time they go somewhere.
I don't know if they could do the sort of Dirty Dozen where he works with the other bounty hunters again, because he's sort of, they might do a Dirty Dozen against him kind of thing.
That would be cool.
But I don't think they could do one where he's working with the group because they want to kill Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Or snag him. But mostly kill him.
Bag him, tag him, or snag him.
Mm-hmm. Although I loved the hand-to-hand fight where the two of them first start out. That was fantastic.
It was.
So good.
Because I was like, are they even going to have him like actually fight? Nope, he's punching her straight in the face.
Yeah, he
and
did.
Then when she hit him, it just sounded like that hurt like a ton.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She was hitting him hard.
You know, that's that, you know, of course, and that's the reason she's in Hollywood, basically, is because of her physicality and, you know, and her martial arts experience. And, I mean, she's just about every movie I've seen her in. If you've never seen Haywire, it's a really good
love this movie for her. Haywire.
What's that?
You love this movie, Haywire.
She's wooden. Like, her dialogue and shit's not good. But, like, again, the physicality she brings to a role, there's probably no other chick in Hollywood that can pull it off like she does. And she's fucking smoke bomb too. So then you got that.
Yeah. You know, I hate to break it to you, Travis, but maybe, you know, to her credit, Star Wars, not exactly known for the best acting.
Yeah,
it's true. That's
true. You got a couple of gems, but man, there's a lot of wood out there.
There is a lot of wood out there.
Christensen was not a fantastic actor.
That's just what I was about to say. Hey, fucking Mark Hamill. What? Mark Hamill wasn't good. I mean,
he came around in later years.
Yeah.
25 years of being animated as the Joker will make anybody a better actor.
Yeah.
So what I want to bring up is the moment that Omara brings the Mandalorian food and he talks about not taking his helmet off. We finally get a little bit more into the Mandalorian lore or religion or code or what have you. And she asked him about taking his helmet off. And he's like, the last time he took it off, he was a kid. Yeah. And if he takes it off and he's seen, never puts it back on again. So I was like, holy shit. You know, and then what I thought was strange is
he leaves,
he takes it off and there's kids outside the window and everything. I'm like,
right in the window. Like,
dude, when I'm jacking off, like, okay. So when I jack off,
what a swerve.
There is there's a comparison coming.
Segway.
There is no way in hell the NSA could not catch me jacking off. Like there's, I know where everybody's at in a 2 mile radius. No one's coming in on me. I am safe.
Incognito tabs, doors locked, windows closed, shades down.
Oh yeah.
He goes in his panic room.
Wife in another state.
Yeah. I got a cold room down in my basement that no one's getting in.
It's all sticky down there.
Lotion and napkins. That's all I fucking need. And my phone. Gotta have my phone. So like the Mandalorians, I have to say, I'd compare my masturbation technique to the Mandalorian.
You never take your underwear off.
Yes, I don't take my underwear off. if anybody sees my underwear off, I can never wear it again.
you're a never nude like in Arrested Development. There's literally dozens of you.
Oh, shit. Well, all right, so fuck that up. Dude, Baby Yoda has fucking broke the internet, has it not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, have you seen, I wanted to find it. It was on Facebook. I couldn't find it, but I was going to play it in the beginning where he's hitting the buttons, right? Well, it says, I've seen the Rick Rowan, of course, But this one says Baby Yoda discovers metal. And when he hits the butt, it's like some death metal. You know, Mando turns it off. And then, Baby Yoda's like, when he hits the button again. It's metal. I thought that was pretty cool.
I saw that there was a good one of that with Lil Jon and the Skeet.
I've seen that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah. The Never Gonna Give You Up was the one that came up 1,000 times. So I guess that's the one that's trending right now.
It's a quality bit.
So we got to see a little bit more of Mando in his gadgets, which I think this is really, really cool that they're doing with Mando. Like, he's kind of Iron Man, kind of Batman, but like, you actually, he was following the footprints with his visor. That's something that we really haven't seen yet, have we?
No, because I've been wondering about that, if he had some sort of predator vision or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But yeah, no, he does have that.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. He's got some gadgets, man. Like, it makes me wonder, like, what else could he have? You know, like, I don't know. Like, I guess the world's his oyster, right?
When he's used all of Boba Fett's tricks. Flamethrower, grappling cable.
Yeah.
He's got everything but the Wookiee pelts.
And the missile. Knife. Like, are we going to get the missile? And the jetpack?
Oh, yeah. If he gets a jetpack, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to talk about this. I want to talk about these fucking fobs. Okay. Because the biggest question to me at the end, now I did have some problems with this episode. Don't get me wrong.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Mainly it was the ending. And, you know, he's deciding that Baby Yoda's better off here. He's better off without me. And I'm like, okay, why? I don't understand why he would think that, for one thing. And these fobs are still out there. And apparently they are, if it was a tracking device or a tracker inside, you know, he would remove his, he would remove Baby Yoda's, and boom, no more trackers, right? You can't track him. But apparently these are more encoded to their DNA than a tracker, because they're still able to be tracked. So my question is, why would he think that they wouldn't find him in this backwater planet? And why would he be safer without the fucking Mandalorian protecting him? You know what I'm saying?
I think the idea is that he's in such a remote place, you know? Like,
because the fobs don't work super, super far away. You got to be at least on the planet. Well, okay, no, because Mando in the first episode, they gave him the planet, and then they gave him the fob. And they said, once you get to that planet, you just use the fob, and, you know, you're resourceful enough to figure that out on your own.
He tells him, we can give you, the client tells him, we can give you the last coordinates with the fob, with the guy with your skill. You should make short work of this.
Yeah. If you were just randomly driving around the galaxy with that fob, it would probably take you forever to find something. I mean, he says he went far away. It didn't seem like he went that far away. He just picked some rando backwater.
Did he jump into hyperspace?
I don't know if he did.
We never really see that if he did.
Yeah, that probably would have been a good idea.
His ship might
not be hyperspace capable.
They make it sound like that a lot of time has went past.
Oh.
And I was like, I didn't get that. It sounds like you all didn't get that either.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just flying around.
Yeah. At the beginning of the episode where he got back to the desert planet to drop off Baby Yoda, he popped out of hyperspace. So his ship definitely has hyperspace.
Okay.
Abilities, I'm pretty sure. Okay. But yeah, like, if you're trying to go to, like, someplace no one's going to find you, why don't you just go to the outer rim planets where nobody, like, goes or looks or anything like that?
Well, am I not mistaken, but didn't Favreau say that we will see the origins of the First Order in this series?
I don't know. I didn't follow a lot of press going into this, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it seems like they were going to get into, like, shit that's been going on in the Outer Rim.
Yeah.
And which makes sense. Like, he would head there, right? You would think he would head there.
Well, here's what we know, right? So this takes place in what? 9 ABY. Or after the Battle of Yavin, you know, the barometer of which all time in Star Wars is measured. Jakku then is 4 years ago, which is the total end of the Empire, right?
Right.
And we've seen in this show that little pocket remnants of the Empire still exist, which we know that, you know, some Imperial governors or whatever held out for a while until the First Order came around and was like, listen, we're starting a new Empire, and it's going to be with more Nazis and all this jazz and red on your TIE fighters, goddammit. And so it's the span of a very short amount of time that this will happen. Like, that some group is going to get their shit together and become the First Order.
Right.
Am I? No?
Yes? Well, I mean, I didn't know specifically, but I know they had, I had heard some mention of this show will tie into the movies and reveal information that was not otherwise known. So could right. very well be the First Order.
I thought I'd heard that. I thought I heard Favreau say that, but maybe not. I want to kind of answer some of the questions in the chat. Brian asked, if Baby Yoda's 50, does that mean he's alive during the whole events of A New Hope?
Yeah.
He was born roughly the same time Anakin was.
Yep.
So, yeah, he was around then. And then Sabine, the Mandalorian. Yeah. Now, she's a Mandalorian, but she does remove her helmet. But she has kind of... She doesn't really subscribe to the Mandalorian code anymore. Isn't that right, Casey?
Yeah, but, you know, all the Mandalorians on the planet don't really give a shit about it either. This whole not removing the helmet thing is brand new.
Right.
So it's possible that, you know, whatever happened to the Mandalorians, which we don't know about because they seemed somewhat together when we last saw them as of Rebels, which is 12 or 15 years before the events of this show. They seem to have, like, you know, a government, some political and military stability, whatever. And now they're living in a, you know, basically a hovel, scraping by. So maybe since their culture was completely destroyed, they kind of reinvented it, you know?
Well, like, it could be different sects, too, because when Mandalore first split up, the one group that went to the planet with the Krayt dragons and all that stuff, was different than there was another group, and they were like pacifists or something like that, if I'm remembering correctly. I remember
watching the Nerdalorians.
Yes, those. So it could be another one of those issues where it's just a sect that broke off and didn't want to have like a society out in the open or something like that. And then they made their own rules because they said, oh, well, those guys are too soft over there. We got to be hard in the shadows and never take our helmets off and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you know, and then you got Django, who was with his helmet, without his helmet a lot.
Yeah, he's a fraud. And Boba Fett, who never took it off.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, you know, like Casey said, this is kind of a new concept. And I'm sure we're going to learn more about it. They've been really, really good, I think, this series in dropping these breadcrumbs and giving us these small bits of his origin story. And you know, do you really want to know it all in one episode? I don't. You know what I mean? I'm cool with how they're doing.
Yeah, you think they're just gonna just dump it all out on the table?
Yeah. No one would like that shit. I wouldn't like that shit.
My girlfriend is adamant that we will see Pedro Pascal's face before the end of the season because he's too big name of an actor to not show it.
I agree with that. In
Dredd, we never saw Carl Urban.
That's what I said. I said, listen, if you're committed to a character that does not take his helmet off, look no further than acclaimed Hollywood frontman, Carl Urban.
But, you know, I'll never forget when they cast Will Smith as Deadshot in Suicide Squad. Me and Sam both were like, I love Will Smith. Sam hates Will Smith, but I love Will Smith. And I was pissed because I knew he's not going to wear the mask.
Which means he doesn't get
one time. And then he wears the fucking little eye. It's fucking stupid. You know, don't cast a dude that wears the mask all the time that you're not going to wear the mask. Kind of silly. So I'm really kudos to Favreau and the creators of the show for you know, cause I'm sure that was a plot point. Like, hey, is he going to take his helmet off? You know, is
Pedro Pascal quite big enough to like really be that like Will Smith level, like I gotta take my helmet off?
No, he's definitely not Will Smith level.
But
he is pretty well known just from Thrones. I mean he's, you know, he's hot, let's put it that way. He's
and, you know, and, you know, don't knock Narcos, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, it was him in that. Okay.
Yeah. He's done well in a bunch. He was in The Kingsman.
Yeah.
He did a great job in The Kingsman, too.
Yeah.
So where does this episode rank for you guys as far as episodes go?
This has been my favorite so far.
Really?
Yeah, it was tough to top. It was the pilot is my favorite.
Wow.
Up until now, yeah. Okay. Just because of the IG-11 battle, I was completely blown away. Like, I'd never seen anything move like that on a screen. It was really wild. But this was just, this is the kind of stuff I would expect to see if they ever, you know, remade Return of the Jedi with, like, guerrilla warfare and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, real terror of the AT-ST, which you'd think, like, oh, these are, like, I've seen, you know, fucking teddy bears and, you know, midgets in fursuits mess these guys up. Like, what? They're not scary.
Right. But,
yeah, they really tuned it up. They made it seem real gritty. Like, that's part of what I love when they talk about, like, the Saw Gerrera sect of the rebels, where they're like, oh, they're too hardcore to establish a government, but as military units, they're great. And I'm just like, they're, you know, they're terrorists against an oppressive government. Like,
right.
You know, and when you say that, Cara Dune is a rebel shock trooper who, like, did work on Endor, I'm like, yeah, she was probably really in the thick of it. That's like their Vietnam, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. So right, Casey, you rank. So this was your favorite.
Yeah.
The pilot, I guess, would be second, or the pilot's first.
Yeah. No, it's going to be 4-1-3-2.
Okay. 4-1-3-2. Dennis?
3-1-4-2. They're all good.
They're all really good.
I would put them all in the nines.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would go 3-1-4-2. Three was too good. Like, there was just too many great scenes and, like, character development. Like, the show does something similar to the movie V for Vendetta. You never see the main character's face, but you get everything he's feeling just looking at that blank, expressionless, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Same thing in that episode where all you see is his helmet, but you can totally see all the doubt and, you know, dislike of what he's doing and shame and all this stuff, even though you can't
determination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that now this episode I love too, because it reminds me of a Western. Like, it's got a Western theme, like you were saying, Seven Samurai. Love that movie too.
Yeah.
So it's really great. I mean, they're all close. I just prefer 3-1-4 and then 2.
Two is definitely I don't want to call it a stinker, but it's going to be last for me for sure.
Yeah,
it's goofy.
Yeah, it had cool moments.
It had cool moments. I've liked all the episodes. I wouldn't go nines. Yeah. I would definitely go eights. But it's going to be 3-4-2-1 for me. Three was just fucking awesome.
Like, look, three was great, but this had moments, man.
Oh, it had great moments, and I want to get to that because Brian in the chat has asked all three of us, what was our favorite scene of this episode? So, Dennis, what was your favorite scene of this episode?
My favorite scene? It was probably the fight scene between the two of them. That's probably my favorite scene.
Yeah.
Just going. I thought the choreography was great. I thought it was, like, very even and back and forth. Didn't make it look like either one was vastly superior to the other one. Even though one's got a ton of gadgets, she just countered all of them. He goes to do his flamethrower. Now, why you would activate it before pointing it at her, I don't know. Kind of telegraphing.
He always seems to have to do that little, like,
it's shake. It's like a spray can. It's like
you gotta shake it up before it shoots out.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably that scene, especially with the end of it, where Baby Yoda's just drinking his tea, because that made a new meme.
Yes. It replaced Kermit the Frog.
Yep.
Kermit is done. No more drinking tea from Kermit. It's going to be fucking Baby Yo from now
on. Dead meme.
Yep.
Casey, what about you?
Oh, when they're first scoping out the camp, and they're just, it's in the dark, and the eyes light up on the walker, and it rises up real slow, and they're just like, go, go, go. And they just book it out of there. Incredible. I got literal chills.
Yeah.
I haven't had that since I watched Endgame. And Cap picked up the hammer. It's like that level
of
getting all jazzed up about what I'm watching.
Yeah. this is going to, I'm going to, my testosterone's going to take
some scene where he saw Gina Carano's like butt or something like that. I know that's what he's going
to
say.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I did Google that to see if like there was anything that popped out. Yeah, because I knew the internet was
finding. Are there any good butt shots of Gina Carano? Like,
was there a nipple slip in chapter 4?
No. Yeah, no way.
Sure, but my testosterone is going to really drop here. It's actually Baby Yoda's scene at the end. And I thought all the scenes with him interacting with the kids, like, okay, I know, and this is not going to be very popular either, people are fucking freaking out about Baby Yoda. I think he's cool, you know, but I'm not in love with him because I still feel like he's, I don't want to say inanimate object, but he's, I haven't got the feels for Baby Yoda like a lot of people have. This episode did it for me. Seeing him interact with the children, you know, and the faces that he's making with the kids as he's playing. And then when they take him away, I was like, oh, God damn, you can't take Baby Yoda. You know, like, no, man, stay here. You know? And I knew they couldn't stay here.
I have more really feels when he's not interacting with people because when someone's touching him, it just looks like they're awkwardly hugging like a puppet because, like, the kid part, the puppet. I was like, it looked like she was afraid she might break it.
Yeah. But, so, I mean,
he's a delicate baby children, boy.
Though? You're like that with children. Like,
not children
people
aren't
give
like
me
that.
Kids, and I'm like, what the fuck do I do?
Yeah,
with I don't know what to do with this thing, man. Like,
Other kids are derpy. They just fucking whatever. They have no concept of their own strength or anything like that.
What, kids don't? Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
You ever see a kid play with like a puppy or a kitten? They're like,
yeah, they fucking smash it and like,
yeah, the like, serial killers do.
They're like George,
like in fucking Philadelphia, I guess. But or no, not George. Like in most places, kids they know. Like it's weird. Like kids have that innate ability to be like, oh, this thing's fragile. I need to be easy with it. You know what I mean?
I can't remember the name of the character from Of Mice and Men. It's not George. It's the other one.
It's but Lenny.
Lenny. He's the kids are basically Lenny.
Lenny was retarded, wasn't he? You said all kids are retards, Janice?
Oh, point stands.
Jesus Christ. Point proven.
I love
but
it.
But anyway, my favorite scene, whether it was Dennis's favorite scene or not, was just about all of them with Baby Yoda interacting. I really felt like he was a real character this episode. Haven't really felt that in the other three. So, and of course, if I would like to see, this is what I'll pitch to Disney. If I'm Gina Carano's agent, I want to see this story that she talked about, which I thought was very interesting. What little we got of it about she fought for the good guys until the politics made her get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, that is a very interesting story that I would love to see. I would love to see that fleshed out.
Oh, it would be awesome to see like a
Ryan type of,
not like an ongoing TV show, but like a mini series on like what happened right after all the shit went down.
Yeah,
and like everything had to like be restarted, and everything sort of went into chaos, and you know.
Well, it's like the Empire's gone.
Yeah.
So you've got all these rebel soldiers. What do they do now? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But obviously, she was, whatever she was involved with, there was politics involved.
Oh, sure. So well, she got involved in politics because it's like, well, what do soldiers do when war is over?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You know, same issue the clone
she got a job doing like private security, and it's like, I don't want to be a senatorial bodyguard. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, right. Palpatine got rid Palpatine got rid of the clone troopers, and that's what they all did.
Yeah.
All went and became like basically mercenaries or bodyguards or whatever. Because
their clocks ran out.
Yeah. Because they were on accelerated ancient. Although, apparently, who's it? Rex was apparently confirmed to be in Return of the Jedi as one of the old men. So.
Yeah, they say he's the old guy in
because he looks
disguised.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The scene cool. Where like all the Imperials have him at gunpoint and they all have their arms up. They're like, there's one guy in scout trooper armor who's like old and has a beard and he's like with the rebels. So people are like, oh, like he must have like snuck in and put on armor and made a disguise and I think it's a fun, I don't know if it's been confirmed, but it's definitely a fun little fan theory.
Oh, I thought they said it was canon.
Oh, is that right?
I thought I read this week that it was canon.
Oh, well, good for him. It was a prevailing fan theory for a long time.
Yeah. See, Dennis, fan theories come true. So.
Sometimes. Oh, how did your fan theories on Last Jedi work out, Travis?
Jesus Christ.
For any, right? Well,
since we're on the subject of shitbirds, Brian Johnson wants to direct an episode of The Mandalorian now.
No, thank you.
So, yeah.
This one was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. I was surprised.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Apparently, Carl Weathers is going to get behind the camera. That was apparently one of his, I don't know, contract deals or whatever, is if he took the part that he would get to direct an episode too. So I don't know if we'll see it this season, maybe next. I don't know. Yeah, Ryan says, Ryan Johnson lost his Star Wars privileges.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has he?
I think he has.
Here's what I say about Ryan Johnson.
Fuck him.
If he wants to make a Star Wars movie that's divergent and in an area of the universe where we haven't seen, more power to him.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, one of the best things about Last Jedi is the little thing where, you know, this random kid, you know, some chimney sweep slave boy might have force potential at the end of the movie. You know, that there's a hope elsewhere in the galaxy that the force is out there. Have a story about that kid. I don't care, but like,
if he has a story outside of anything known where he can't screw with too much mythology or anything like that, okay. But him just making crap up that doesn't make sense and doesn't really fit within the universe too much, yeah, I'd rather him not. I'd rather him just go do something
else. I've gained a modicum amount of love back for him because I just saw Knives Out this past week.
The Heart is good.
That movie fucking, it rules.
Yeah.
That's one of the best mysteries I've ever seen. I'm like, fucking do a Star Wars, mystery in space.
He's done good movies.
Looper was good.
Looper was great.
The superhero movie that Travis and I can't remember the name of, it was like found footage. That was pretty good. That was what got him. That was his first movie he ever did. I can't remember what it was called, though.
It was pretty good. Are you talking about the ones with the kids?
They were teenagers.
Yeah, where they were like up in the clouds, like throwing baseball.
Yeah, that one.
I
can't remember what it was called for the life of me.
Loved it. They made a sequel to it too, didn't they?
I don't think they did.
Is it Brick?
No.
It's definitely not Brick.
No, it's not Brick. Come on, chat.
Chat. I
know what it is. Yeah, it was like on cam footage. A lot of it looked like.
Are you confusing him with Chronicle?
Chronicle?
He didn't do Chronicle.
Yeah, he didn't do Chronicle.
I thought he did Chronicle.
No.
No.
Who did Chronicle?
The Fantastic Four guy.
Yes.
Oh, crazy. Yeah, you're
dude
right.
That'll never get another movie in Hollywood, I don't think.
Yeah, no. Never mind.
Yeah.
Scratch that.
Casey,
I
want to ask you about the kid with sweeping the broom.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, that bugged me to no end.
Why?
Because people are acting like Ryan Johnson created this, I don't know, mythology inside of Star Wars that you didn't have to be a Palpatine, a Solo, or Skywalker to have the Force.
Yeah.
Like, the Force can be in anybody. Oh, my God, that's fucking brilliant. No, motherfucker, it's always been that way.
I was going to say, it's always been that way.
It's always been that way. So, Mace Windu was one of the most powerful Jedi there ever was. He wasn't any of the lineage that we know.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So people were like, oh, my God, at the end when the broom sweeps, oh, my God, the Force can be in anybody.
But, Travis, you can only have one African-American per Star Wars
oh
movie.
Oh, my God.
So, and Finn's already in it, and he didn't die, so we can't have any more.
And they made
– it's not my rule, it's Disney.
They made him one of the – Ryan Johnson made him one of the worst characters in any movie ever. Any movie. He had not one job to do, not one little side plot he had to do for the good guys to win. He had two, and he failed in both of them. And then, because in Rian Johnson's Star Wars, every man is an idiot and has to be saved by a woman, he gets his shot.
All right, come on.
It's true, Casey.
Let's not. We're not doing this.
It's
I'm not
true.
Ready. I'm not ready for this.
Poe Dameron was a just a. I don't know what they did with Poe's character. Like,
I don't.
You can't tell the
you
most
never question authority.
Pilot
you follow
in Star
all
Wars
your orders. Universe. Everyone knows that.
You can't tell. You can't tell the most storied pilot in Star Wars universe your secret plan because you're an idiot. So we're gonna lock you up for a mutiny that you committed because we're not gonna let you in on shit. All right, so boom, there's one male character out of the way. Ben's going to save the day and sacrifice himself. I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm fucking eating my fucking popcorn. I'm looking at Sam, I'm going, oh my God, Finn is going to get his fucking moment. Hell yeah, Finn, you fucking go, Finn. Boom, he's hit
romance
by another
you're not allowed
woman.
To have.
He's hit by a woman, and he's like, why did you do that? Like, Finn's pissed. And she goes, because we have to know, we have to fight for what we love.
Because you're
hating the whole movie.
You're contracted for another movie.
That's right.
You can't die.
Oh my God.
The contract's not up yet.
Whatever, Trent. Like, it's not about that. We're talking about the kid. And yes, Rian Johnson is not some miracle worker who's like anybody can have the Force. No. But he included it in his movie for a reason. And I think it's important to recognize that, you know? That you can have a Star Wars movie starring someone else.
Absolutely. No, for sure. For sure. And now, does he still have the trilogy, like the new trilogy that's coming out? Does he
still
in away. His hands?
I don't know.
I thought they took that away.
Star Wars right now has as many fired directors as approved ones. So
you're right.
I think everything is up in the air.
They're trying to keep up with DC.
Yeah, that's it.
Man, Marvel has had its share.
Kathleen Kennedy's fucking rolling through people like, nope, not good enough. Don't like it. Not. You know, these two comedic geniuses, Lord and Miller, could have made a great Han Solo movie, but it's like, no, let's go with Ron Howard, the most vanilla safe option we could have made.
That's true.
It's like, would you like a middle of the road film that's kind of good, but in no way mind blowing?
Yeah.
Ron Howard.
We got you covered.
We want the guy who did Cocoon.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Why can't we get a Cocoon version of Star Wars?
It's a bunch of old people getting young again. That's exactly what the fan base wants.
That's right.
Yeah, Rhino says, all I want is an Old Republic series with fucking awesome Revan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's it. I don't, of course, the whole fucking Star Wars.
I want to ask this question because it's been on my mind and I have you two here. Who went to fight Vader or Revan?
Revan.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Wait, is it Vader as Vader or Vader as Anakin
Vader
Skywalker?
Vader is Vader.
Yeah, no, probably Revan. Those Old Republic guys knew how to swing a lightsaber, man. You know, they had all kinds of crazy-ass force tricks back in the day that you don't see a lot of now.
Plus, he was light and dark side.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, going middle of the road, you're probably not getting the best of either.
That's true.
I don't know.
You know, it's tricky. Like, you know, you look at guys who were like, who's hanging around in the time of Revan? It's like, oh, there's this guy who's literally a black hole of the Force who sucks the life out of people and doesn't talk, and he's terrifying. That's the caliber of Sith Lord you're working with 5,000 years ago. You know, not to knock my boy Vader, but, you know, who's powerful as all heck, but, like, he's wheezing and lumbering through a fight with a 24-year-old kid.
Right.
Come on. You know? Right.
So where does Kylo rank in Sith Lords?
What?
He doesn't.
Where does Kylo rank in Sith Lords?
He's technically not a Sith Lord, so you can't rank him, but he's pretty,
goddamn right he's not.
I like him. I think he's pretty fucking tough.
What?
Can you imagine getting shot by Chewbacca and still being able to stand?
Yeah. Apparently, it was really a devastating blow because a dude that is a janitor in the Imperial Army gets a lightsaber and fights him off.
All right, listen. Don't tell me you didn't think that this dude who can stop blaster bolts with the Force is fucking great.
Yeah, that was dope. I mean,
he's got some good tricks. I want to see him fight at his peak.
Yeah, I do too. I want to see that. I'm not going to get to see it in this movie, but I would like to have seen him complete his training. You know,
we can't.
Apparently, we're not going to get that.
His master's dead.
Huh?
His master's dead. There's no completing the training.
Palps could do it.
Palps can do it.
Palps can do it.
I don't know if those two are on the same side.
What?
Based on what I read, it doesn't really sound like they're working on the same team.
Oh, script leaker over here.
Just saying.
I'm so sad that my reduction driver was Kylo Ren. That's funny. Jason says, I'm so sad that my introduction to Adam Driver was Kylo Ren.
On the bright side of that character, that SNL sketch with him in it is pretty fantastic. It's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Can you guys imagine if Adam Driver was 15 years older, we could have got him as Anakin Skywalker? I would have loved that.
I would have loved anybody other than Hayden Christensen.
Really? Yeah.
No, I just think that he captures this sort of like, not childlike rage, but like just this guy who's been denied a great destiny. Like you can just see this simmering hatred of like never being good enough and never getting what he wants and like being explosively mad about it. Like I'm completely sold that this guy is Anakin Skywalker's grandson.
Really?
Listen, I love Kylo Ren a whole lot.
You do.
Like people are like, he's a fucking whiny baby. I'm like, dude, look at the family he's coming from. His uncle is a whiny baby. His grandfather is a whiny baby. Like, it's line after line of whiny babies.
No, but his dad was like one of the coolest dudes.
I was gonna say, mom and dad weren't whiny babies.
Yeah, and they fucking gave him up to go live with his whiny bitch uncle. That's what's up. That's why Han didn't rub off on him. Although it seems like he got his piloting skills, you know.
Yeah,
there's that.
That's true.
He could have got those from Luke too. Luke is.
Yeah, could have got that from Luke. Yeah, you know what? Maybe.
But he's too pretty for me. Like I want some ugly fucking villains, man.
I don't think he's that pretty.
Yeah.
Well, I mean the hair. It's the fucking Vidal Sassoon hair.
I mean those mom jean level thing that he was wearing that came up to like his like nipples, like weird pants that he was wearing in The Last Jedi.
What was with that, dude? Like, dude.
I was like, is that supposed to be alluring? Because it's not.
Yeah, that fucking movie, man.
All it did was make you stare at his manly chest more. Yeah, I think like, that's exactly what he wanted when he's like, oh, Ray, I didn't see you there. I was just taking my shirt off.
I wanted the scene where she's like, can you just put your shirt back on, please? That's just, nobody wants to see any of that.
You're right. You know what? It is like that SNL skit where he's like, I hear Kylo Ren shredded. He's got like an 8-pack.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what he's going for.
Yeah.
Chesticles. Rhino says they're chesticles.
They're chesticles. Dude, you gotta give him credit. He got big and beefy for that role.
He did. No, I love anybody that commits and yeah. I think he's a great actor. I mean I've seen him in other shit. Someone posted in the chat that he was creepy as fucking girls. He was.
Yeah.
Like to me, he's more villainous in girls than he is in fucking Kylo Ren. I don't know. That's sounds pretty bad, but I am very optimistic for the new movie just because I'm a fan and I know I've been fucking super critical of the last two. It is because I am a fan and I want to see it done right. Like the Mandalorian. I think we can all agree. This is what fans have been wanting.
Yeah.
New stories, new characters in the universe that we all know and love and are familiar with, you know?
The expanded universe is in a great place with the Mandalorian at like the very upper echelon of like best Star Wars things ever done.
Yes.
Like I don't honestly see a point in how they could fuck it up from here on out because the quality has been consistent amongst a variety of directors now.
Okay. Well, let me, since you said that, I want to kind of tail off cause we're almost at an hour now, but where do you think this show goes? Because it, like you said, Casey, it's almost got that Western serial series kind of vibe to it where you're going to get different characters. He's going to be in different places every episode, which is cool. But what kind of end game are we looking at for like a season finale?
Oh, man. I wouldn't even begin to know.
Yeah, I mean, but that's my point. I'm kind of like, where do they go from here?
I think this episode is a catalyst to Mando. Because he realizes that there is no safe place for me to take Baby Yoda. Okay. So instead of me just constantly trying to hide Baby Yoda, I think he's going to try and put a team together and sort of stop whatever's coming after Baby Yoda.
Okay.
So I think that's where it ends up going in the long run. That's your end goal is trying to cut the snake off at the head sort of thing.
Yeah.
But maybe the last scene of the show will be Mando breaks in the facility and there's a million Baby Yoda.
I was thinking, I feel like the fob, you know, I'm fucking stuck on the fob this episode, right? But I feel like the fob has something like there's a hacker or a splicer in the galaxy that can disconnect this fob from the biorhythm of Baby Yoda or Mando for that matter. And he's going to be using his underworld connections to stealthily go about trying to find this person to get this done. So there can be some safety going forward. He's never going to be truly safe because of the way he looks, right?
No,
unless they are stuck out in the outer rim somewhere.
I guess it really depends on how famous Yoda was. You know
how what?
How famous Yoda was.
In yeah. His day. See, we really don't know that.
Yeah. I always am drawn back to the fact that Han Solo, you know, 20 years, you know, after the fall of the Jedi in Order 66 is like, it's all hokey religions, kid. It's made up, you know, like in 20 years, people are forgetting that like your equivalent of police of space wizard police are just gone.
Sure.
Like, you know, maybe Yoda's just a footnote in the annals of galactic history.
Yeah.
They probably don't even mention him.
Well, yeah. he may be
you're
that
the empire. You're not going to talk about them.
Yeah. Right.
So you're not going to erase them from history. It's literally the same thing the Egyptians did between rulers, because there was one in particular that did away with all the classic gods, and then he mysteriously got murdered really quickly.
Yeah, he tried to reboot the franchise.
And then they erased everything about that guy. Like other than his name, they got rid of everything, and they went back to the way things were. So I'm thinking that's probably what the Empire did too. Yeah. Like, okay, Jedi's were bad guys.
It's entirely believable that they just see him as some sort of, like, just strange alien that they've never seen before. And the galaxy is a big place.
Yeah. You know? Yeah,
a lot of people don't even leave their home planet. So you got
to
imagine.
Yeah, they're like, not even able to. That's great. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And probably most people are planned on, like, their own lives. So if you're a smuggler, what the hell do you care about Jedi or any of that stuff? You're just trying to do your mission, get from point A to point B, and spend your credits on, you know, blue milk or whatever.
And why would you ever think that this random baby is valuable if you weren't already in on it?
Yeah.
You know? As for where I see this ending, I mean, I would love to just have the same formula keep going. I think it's a premise that you could just run with. You know, I don't think that there necessarily has to be a conclusion like that. You know?
So
Lone Wolf and Cub
then on a season finale if it's
honestly
episode and
I can see a season finale I can see a series finale ending with the death of the Mandalorian and if Baby Yoda's still around sort of taking up the sword as it were. That's lifted straight from Lone Wolf and Cub where like the cycle of violence is ultimately ended. You know, if you kill the last guy that's coming after you, you don't need to kill anyone anymore.
Right.
You know, like so if it gets to the point where like all they see, you know, maybe they get access to a database and they see, okay, how many fobs are out there? And then they go on the offensive, right? So they start taking out anybody who has a fob. And then eventually it's like, all right, now no one's looking for us. Like, how do we start a life? And maybe that's where it goes, yeah. You know, where they're no longer on the run.
Yeah.
That works for me.
That's where I see it. I see it where there's the end game is they get free and clear somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and then other shit happens. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, they didn't make the kid – they made the kid Yoda or that species for a reason. There's an end game with that in itself. They could have
made – the end game is that he's going to be cute for the entire length of the show.
Right. Yeah. That, you're probably right. But they –
he's not just going to age up. Like, they're not – what are they, going to jump 20 years down the road? Maybe.
The only way it would work is if it went off the same logic as the clone troopers where he had accelerated aging.
Oh, what, like it kicks in at a certain point? Like, as soon as he turns 70, he just becomes a grumpy grouch?
Yeah. Have you seen the 10-year challenge with Baby Yoda fucking real Yoda? It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm loving it. I'm sure – I mean, it's – you always worry how these things, the seasons end up, right? I mean, we've been so happy with it and we really hate to see it like, oh shit. I'm going to be disappointed if he's a clone. I'll say that. Like, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I want him to be like, you know, Anakin was born, the Force, seeing the path Anakin was, you know, probably going to go down, and they created Yoda as a counter. You know what I mean? That's, you know, I don't know. Maybe, we'll see.
The ending that I gave you, Yoda's not the clone, but they took his DNA in that third episode. So I'm saying they make clones. And at the end when they, you know, he's going around trying to, you know, stop whoever's at the head of it, that's when he discovers, oh shit, they made a whole bunch of Yoda clones. That's what I'm saying.
So, are Yoda's the original? They could kill the original and we get, like you said,
it's a Lassie.
Yeah, he's dead. Lassie's but dead, then we find out that there's 1,000, you have 1,000,000 more on the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It turns into a Kenny from South Park every episode.
Right. Oh my God, Baby you Yoda killed Baby Yoda. You bastard.
You killed Baby Yoda. You bastard. The fucking internet would go goddamn nuts. An ATST
steps on him. Gina Carano accidentally sits on him.
They give you a Doctor Strange death montage.
Yeah. Every episode he dies some mysterious way and then he has to get another one out of the back to tank.
That's funny.
Just to clean you off.
Oh, here's a good chat question. So by that logic, who is the dark side equivalent now that Vader is dead?
Yeah, I've seen that. I said Kylo.
Palpatine's
still alive.
You got to think about it this way, right? So if the Force is all... Listen, there's that theory that the Force is all-knowing and it doesn't have a sense of time in the way that we do. Like, Anakin's born, and it's not... Like, if he brings balance to the Force, it's that he's just a great dark side entity in the future. So Yoda, Baby Yoda, theoretically, born in the same time, 41 BBY, is the light side to meet that dark side eventually. You know, who knows how long Vader could have lived if he wasn't prematurely killed.
Well, but, you know, we also know, because of the comic, that Palpatine is the one that created Anakin.
Right.
So the Force corrects itself, like, oh, this Sith Lord just made a fucking baby with more midichlorians than anybody.
Yeah, he got peanut butter in my Force chocolate.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Is that Force chocolate? Yes. But yeah. That's the answer to everything is Force.
I mean, again, but this is all theory stuff. Like, we really have idea.
Fuck,
you know,
yeah, we have no clue.
If Anakin, you know, was created by the Force or designed by the Force to bring balance to the Force and Palpatine corrupted it, you know, the idea that light rising to meet it is not necessarily a thing that has to happen at the same time.
No.
You know, you hate to see it happen, but by Rian Johnson's logic, like, Rey is what rose to be against Kylo Ren, and he's what, 15 years older than she is?
Yeah, that's true. Sure.
You know, yeah. Luke is what, 22 years younger than his father by the time that he strikes him down? You know, they don't necessarily have to be, you know, born at the same time.
And with the, unless there is something imprinted onto his DNA where it accelerates his aging, you know, I mean, the Baby Yoda's 50 fucking years old now, and he's still, I mean, he still shits on himself. So, I mean, it's like, dude,
can you imagine just shitting your pants for 50 years? Yeah. What a life.
No shit, man. So, yeah, Force chocolate. Jason said, Force chocolate? What the fuck? that's awesome. Yeah, so, guys, anything else y'all want to say about the episode? Great episode.
Give me more, goddammit. I mean, we got to wait a week, but I'm so excited.
Just let me binge it.
Oh, yeah. Let me binge it.
No shit. So it's Friday this week, correct, Casey?
Yep.
We talked about this last week, but.
Yep.
So I think it's Friday this week. I think it's Friday the next week, then Wednesday, then Friday.
Before the movie.
Yes.
They're getting that penultimate episode out before the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is out the last week of this
week. I think we're in that episode. We are going to get a tie-in. Like, yeah. I feel like I've read that several places, like Dennis and I were saying earlier. I don't know if it's going to be like First Order shit or somebody in the chat said their theory was that he takes it to like the First Order as they're being, I guess they're being formed. First Order. I feel like they might end up running into the First Order Brigade and finding a place to keep Baby Yoda safe there. Like, maybe Mando doesn't realize what the First Order is. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, people would hate that.
Yeah.
People would hate that. Yeah.
They'd hate it.
I'd hate it.
Yeah, you couldn't do it.
As Nazi as they are, there's no way he would not know that they're
Debo asked this question. Out evil. And we talked about this last week, so we'll just hit on it briefly before we go. Do you think Baby Yoda or this character makes it to the Rise of Skywalker? Do we see it? And no. If we don't see it on screen, is there mention of it?
No.
Like, I feel like this movie ends with the Jedi Council, not the Council, but the Jedi Academy coming back. I feel like this movie ends with that. Like, Rey and Kylo, I think Kylo gets a redemption story. They beat Palpatine together. They find Baby Yoda. It's still shitting himself, but it's a Yoda. And they start the Jedi Academy back, and fucking all's right in the fucking universe. What do you think, Dennis?
It's not what I read.
Oh, goddamn, Dennis. disregard Dennis. Casey.
I think you're not gonna roll something that was in the TV show into the movies. I just don't see it happening.
Because it would confuse too many people that haven't seen the TV show.
The casuals would not.
They always play to the casuals. They did not play to the.
Yeah, it's the reason why, you know, the MCU shows are never gonna cross into the movies, despite them being like, haha, maybe it will. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. better tune in. It's like, no. As far as the audiences are concerned, Phil Coulson died in Avengers, and he has never come back.
I mean, the Marvel stuff, those properties are probably well-known enough that they wouldn't have to put the specific story of that character in, but you could put the Punisher in, and people know who the Punisher is.
Yeah.
You could put Daredevil in, and you know who the Daredevil is.
But the fact is that they still won't, even with that.
Right.
What chance, then, for a Baby Yoda?
Yeah, that's true.
Merchandising. So I think we'll save it.
Do the merch.
Yeah, that's the reason Baby Yoda will survive. I know I said, you know, he could potentially die after his clones. No, that's not going to happen. He's going to survive because he is a billion-dollar toy for Disney, for sure.
They're going to make a Toys That Made Us episode just about Baby Yoda. Pretty sure.
For sure. All right, guys. Dennis, where can people find you at?
You can find me at Botched a D&D Podcast on all your podcatchers, patreon.com/botchpodcast, where you can support and do all that jazz. Also, right after this, I'm going to go live on twitch.tv/worldsmostakdm. I'm going to be playing some Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm going to be fighting some robot dinosaurs and shit.
When do you cook again?
Thursday.
Y'all got to see that shit.
I was going to do it last Thursday, but my roommate was getting laid, so she locked me out of the floor.
So you should have streamed her getting laid.
The door was locked. I couldn't get in the floor.
Can you get like a microphone up to it? We just listen to the shit.
Oh, okay.
It's against terms of service, Travis. Unless you're somebody famous like Amaranth.
Yeah.
There was a time when we had the cable. Y'all probably too young to remember this shit. We had Debo and him probably remember. We had cable boxes, real thick cable boxes, and you slid the thing to the channel. And if you put like a paper clip and a piece of tape and something else in there, you could get the porn channel with the squiggly line. And every once in a while, it would frame up and you could watch like 2 seconds of some soft porn. And then it would squiggle, then it would go, you know. And you spent your night doing that shit. So
we had skin.
I would listen to your roommate having sex. Just saying.
Okay, great. Good to know.
Yeah, chat, you tell me if I'm wrong. Like, you wouldn't listen to that shit? At least for a minute. It's better than watching Dennis cook.
Thanks, Debo.
No, that was actually kind of funny. Casey, where can I find you at?
Debo, let him know in the chat, baby.
He's already got Dennis. He's getting you next.
I know it's coming. I just, listen, I will steal you one day. One day, Debo.
No, you will be mine.
You can find me at twitch.tv/badcoyotefunky. We are live Thursday nights at 9 o'clock, talking about geek roundtable news and all the stuff you really care about. This past week, I have also been personally streaming on twitch.tv/tvscasey, playing some Jedi Fallen Order, which has been pretty sweet. Probably not last night. Yeah, I was on last night, and I was on Saturday, and it was about like 4 hours of quality content there. But
what do you think about that game?
I love it.
I love it too.
I love it.
It's really cool.
Really solid. But I got to tell you, that narrative of, oh, we'll restart the Jedi Order together is just kind of like, all right. Sure. Go for it.
Yeah, you don't like it?
I don't like when, you know, your shit is kind of a foregone conclusion.
What do you mean?
Well, you know they're not, it's not going to work out because you don't see any more Jedi 20 years down the line. It doesn't matter. Maybe none of what they do matters. It's like, how many more episodes of The Clone Wars do you want to watch with Anakin Skywalker being a good guy, even though we know he will be a bad guy? It's like,
yeah, you think they would set it in a timeline that's parallel enough that it like could be a separate sort of thing?
Yeah, no.
Where they could be living simultaneously and nobody would have any idea?
Yeah. I just think the stakes are too grand. Like, you know, Shadows of the Empire back in the day, you know, in the 90s, it's like, okay, so it's between Empire and Return of the Jedi. Like, here's a bunch of cool shit that happens. And, like, none of it's important, but it's all really cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, like, oh, we're going to restart the Jedi Order in these 6 months between films. It's like, okay. But, well, the game is fun as hell, and it's got the best lightsaber combat in any video game.
That's so true. I agree.
I just got saber toss last night, and I'm like, perfect.
Did you know that you could have got that in the very beginning of the game instead of going to Zarthos or Zathos or whatever? You went to Dharamir first and ran by a bunch of enemies. You could have got it like in the beginning.
Damn it. All right. Well,
yeah. Sorry. Should have told you.
It's all right. Listen, I got it now and I'm feeling real beefy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's dope. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is the way.
But yeah, sure. That's it. That's what I'm up to.
And you can find me on the Blazing Defender. I do a comic book podcast. I haven't done one in a couple of weeks because I've been doing this show, but I am going to get one on the books this week. So be checking
the Facebook page.
What's that?
They're piling up.
Yeah, I know it, right? Yeah, they are piling up, and there's been some really good books, and some surprises. But I'm going to start doing different segments called the Pull List, and then I'm going to do another segment called Kicking Out of the Pull List. So, because that is something that I've been doing lately. I've been adding titles and getting rid of titles. So, you want to be sure and check that out. And follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you, Debo. Debo, my hype man, has got me up on the links in the chat if you want to check that out.
Debo'sthebomb.com.
If you have not hit the like and subscribe button, please do that for me. That way you're notified every time I go live. And it seems to be, and I'll check this out, that I can also stream to Facebook now from OBS or from Streamlabs.
Simulcast.
So I'm going to be flirting with that this week because I know that I've left some people behind in the Facebook universe. So I want to go back and get those guys. But if you can simulcast, why wouldn't you? So, but guys, I haven't signed off like this in the last couple shows, but I want to make sure I do it with the holidays coming up and everything. The world's crazy. Treat people like you'd want to be treated, and the world will just be a better place. And this holiday season, it's not about the shit that you get or you give, for that matter. But it's about family. It's about brotherhood. It's about relationship. Don't forget that. For that, guys, Casey Dennis, thank you so much for being on. We'll be back next week, guys. Follow the Facebook page for the time and place. With that, we're out. Peace.